Now come to order, it's 3:22 on Friday, February 18th. With us are Representative Seaton, Representative Holmes, Representative Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Olson. We're missing three people, but we do have a quorum. We have two bills on the agenda today, House Bill 118, Research and Development Tax Credit, and House Bill 125, Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. We've had a lot of interest both on the committee and amongst the public on both bills, and for that reason, we're not going to bring up House Bill 125 today. We're still waiting on a couple of fiscal notes, and this is going to be a bill that has the full participation of the committee on it. So with that, I think we'll start on with Curtis Thayer on House Bill 118. Curtis is calling in from California, I believe.
Oh, Mr.
California, where are you, Curtis?
I am in Anchorage. Thank you very much. I appreciate your indulgence allowing me to call in, but after being in Juneau, I have child care issues with my wife now on a business trip.
Please state your name and affiliation, and you've got our undivided attention.
All right. Good afternoon, Representative Olson and members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. Thank you for being here today. And for the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. With me also is Juanette Ayers. She's the Director of the Division of Economic Development. And I believe joining you also in Juneau is Joanna Bales from the Department of Revenue. The bill, House Bill 118, is the governor's bill, and one of the primary focuses for the introduction of this bill is to put us at that we have other states that are at a competitive advantage over Alaska, and because we do not have this type of legislation. And what HB 118 addresses is establishing a 20% tax credit for qualified research and development conducted by corporate taxpayers in Alaska. In effect, the research and development tax credit would stimulate private sector investment, entrepreneurial activity, and business expansion in our state, while bringing opportunity and long-term benefits to our economy. This legislation will allow Alaska corporations to receive a 20% tax credit not to exceed $10 million per taxpayer per year. The research and development activities or the payroll of the employees must take place in Alaska. To qualify, research and development activities must meet the following. The purpose is to discover informational technologies in nature and the application of which is intended to be useful in the development of new or improved components of the taxpayer, and all of the activities constitute a process of experimentation. And the experimentation is for a qualifying activity or purpose. Examples of these activities would be a development of a new or improved product, process, or formulas, development of prototypes or models, building or improving manufacturing facilities, development or improvement of software technologies, certificate testing, and development or application for patents. Activities that would not qualify are the exploration activity to assertion of the existence, location, extent, or quality of any ore or mineral deposit, duplication of existing business components, surveys or studies such as market research, advertising, or routine data collection, or research in the social sciences, arts, or humanities would not qualify. This bill would also impose a reporting requirement on the Department of Revenue so the legislature and the public are aware of the fiscal impact and economic benefits of the research and development credit to the state. How will the credit work? A percentage of qualified research and development expenditures that exceed the average qualified research and development expenditures for 3 years immediately preceding, so a three-year look back, for which the credit is claimed. Unused credits may be carried forward for up to 7 years after the expenditure for which the credit is claimed. In order to prevent a corporate taxpayer from claiming more than one benefit for a single expenditure, the bill also provides that a credit may not be claimed for expenditures that a corporation deducted in calculating its tax liability or for which it claimed a federal credit that has been apportioned to Alaska. This legislation helps put Alaska on a level playing field with over half the states in the lower 48 that currently have this. The legislation will help us in our efforts to spur sustainable economic growth in Alaska. In turn, it will be good for our economy and for Alaska families. Again, thank you for your time today. I'd like to turn it over to Juanetta Ayers, who has a short PowerPoint presentation that I believe has been set up in the committee room to kind of walk through some of the finer points. And again, the Department of Revenue is also available to answer questions and to possibly comment on the bill. Juanetta, with the privilege of the chair, Juanetta Ayers.
Thank you, Chairman Olson and members of the committee. Is the PowerPoint presentation on your screen?
Yes, can we have your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Thank you. My name is Juanetta Ayers, and I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development. I'm going to give you a bit of background context for the research and development credit. And the first slide will walk through some of the background with the Federal Research and Development Tax Credit, which was established in 1981. So it's been in existence for 30 years. It's been reauthorized 14 times, and most recently it was authorized through this calendar year. There's a great deal of interest and sentiment to permanently extend the credit so that companies can create good jobs and increase future productivity and growth. On the next slide, there's an outline of the four-part test as to what constitutes research and development according to the Internal Revenue Code. And the four-part test examines, does the research and development activity have a technological nature that draws on natural sciences, mathematics, or computer science? That there's a level of technological uncertainty with regard to the activities, so that they're seeking to develop a new product or an improvement in a product or process. That it also has some basis of experimentation as to what the outcomes to examine one or more alternatives to reach conclusions, and that it's for a permitted purpose, much of which was outlined in Deputy Commissioner Thayer's information. On the next slide, talks about the innovation agenda, which you may be hearing some of this language that's being discussed on a national level. The America Competes Act is a piece of federal legislation that's dramatically changing the federal approach to economic development. A large part of that is seeking to accelerate the commercialization of new technologies, products, processes, and services. In addition to taking this focus on innovation and competitiveness, the Economic Development Administration has been restructured, and they've created this Office of Innovation and Entrepreneurship that is solely to focus on innovation and commercialization of those new technologies, products, processes, and services with the goal of increasing productivity and economic growth in the country. President Obama characterized the innovation agenda is that we have to outbuild, and if you can click outbuild, out-innovate, out-educate, and out-hustle, be an economic survivor. On the next slide, it shows the 34 U.S. states that currently have some form of research and development tax credit or incentive. Minnesota was the first after the establishment of the federal tax in 1981. Minnesota followed suit in 1982. And over the course of the last 30 years or so, most states have joined the ranks of those that offer some form of research and development tax credit. I'll just end with reiterating on the last slide that HB 118 creates this new tax credit for qualified research and development, essentially for every $5 spent by the private sector in a qualified research and development activity, $1 would be credited back against their state corporate tax obligation. And with that, I'll turn it over to Joanna Bales.
Please come up, Joanna. Welcome back. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my My name is Joanna Bales. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division. And I just have a couple comments to make and reiterate what Deputy Commissioner Thayer and Director Ayers said. The purpose of this bill, the governor is hoping to bring in new businesses to Alaska, and hopefully this type of credit will entice them to do some research and development up here. As you all are aware, I mean, we're heavily dependent on oil and gas companies in our state, and we're hoping over the long term a credit such as this will help us diversify. So that's really the main focus of this legislation.
Are you going to be walking us through the sectional, or will that be Curtis?
I believe, Juanetta, were you going to walk them through the sectional? I will walk you through the sectional.
Sorry, we had you on mute.
All right. Basically, what this does, if you look at Section 1, it would allow a taxpayer a 20% credit on those research and development expenditures that are incurred in the state that exceed the three-year average of research and development expenditures that they had in the prior 3 years. So any existing research and development that's taking place would not get a credit. It would only if that research and development activity increased or we had new research and development activity from a new company in the state. So they would be allowed 20% of those expenditures, and the credit would not be able to exceed $10 million per year. And then also, they could carry forward any amount of that credit that they were unable to apply against the tax liability for 7 years. As Deputy Commissioner Thayer pointed out, that the person would not be able to also take a deduction for those expenses in the calculation of their corporate income tax liability. And as Director Ayers pointed out, there's a federal research and development tax credit. And currently, under the way the corporate tax works in Alaska, we allow companies to apportion a part of that federal credit. They are allowed to take that on their corporate income tax return if they conduct business in Alaska. They wouldn't also be allowed to take the federal credit as well. So that's basically the gist. I mean, there's really only one section in this bill. But we also then, the Department of Revenue, would report back to the legislature and just provide the amount of research and development activity that's been going on in the state each year and the increase.
Any questions for Joanna or Curtis or Juanetta?
I got a bunch of them. I can just throw them out, and whoever wants to answer them is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, sounds like it could be a great idea, but I'm having a real hard time wrapping my head around it. There's not much in our packet. So when I was reading it last night, I mean, the PowerPoint helps a little bit, but there wasn't very much in our packet to tell us what this is. So I'm going to just jump in with a whole bunch of questions. You started in on the interaction between the federal credit and the state credit. And I was curious a little bit more about how that works. If there's already a federal credit that they're eligible for, why would there need to be a state credit too? They can't apply for both, so how would that interact? When would they take the state credit versus the federal credit?
Through the chair, Representative Holmes, basically the way the federal credit works is taxpayers do a calculation of all the research and development activity that takes place throughout the nation. I mean, because we do calculate our corporate income tax on what's called a water's edge basis. So even though that research and development activity isn't conducted in Alaska, they can still get a credit. But generally speaking, it's very small because the portion of the activity that took place in Alaska is generally very small. This would allow them to have a 20% credit against the amount of activity, the expenditures that took place in Alaska. So we're hoping to entice them, and instead, if we have a company that's actually, I mean, a good example of that would be like a Cold Regions I mean, there are a lot of companies who do that kind of research and development, and they might conduct that activity in a northern state such as Minnesota or Wisconsin. Well, where better to do that than Alaska? But if those states offer credits and we don't, it's helpful for us to bring them up here so they conduct that activity here. And so providing that credit directly for those expenses, it would be larger than the federal credit that they're currently taking.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful. If you may, Mr. Chairman, I got a group of them. Question two. You mentioned there are a bunch of other states that also provide these, or somebody mentioned there are a bunch of other states that provide them. Generally speaking, this is a up to $10 million with a carry forward of up to 7 years. How does that compare with what other states are doing?
Through the chair, Representative Holmes. What other states do is actually kind of all over the board. Yeah. I mean, it varies significantly from state to state. Some don't have a limit. Some allow them just to have a credit for the amount of expenses until they've exhausted the credit. Some have credits that are 6%, 20%. I mean, it is kind of all over the place. So it's difficult to say on average that states do X. What we did with this legislation is we basically piggybacked federal, and the federal law allows either it's between 14% and 25%, and there are some in the calculation, the federal, I mean, it depends upon if it's new expenditures or if it's something that you've been working on previously. So even the federal calculation is a little bit complicated and diverse. So we kind of looked at all of that and took a middle range of 20%, but only on those expenditures that were increasing in the state.
Okay.
Question three.
Let me see. What do I want question three to be? There was a mention, and we had, this is something I didn't see in the PowerPoint, there was a mention, I think it was Mr. Thayer, who was running quickly through some exceptions, and he mentioned a couple of things that I didn't have time to jot down, but I remember hearing mineral and ore, and I saw Representative Johnson and I kind of looking at each other trying to figure out. It'd be helpful if we could somehow get in writing at some point what those exceptions are. I think in an oil and gas state, what that set me off in my mind is, to what extent these credits are or are not applicable to oil, gas, mining. It sounded like maybe those were outside the realm, but then maybe there's technology associated with them that would be eligible, and I'm just not sure how this credit would apply in those industries.
Okay, through the chair, Representative Holmes. I'm sorry that we did intend to provide some information in the packet so you didn't get something that looks like this. I'll make sure every committee member gets that.
Thank you.
But as far as the mineral exploration goes, like I said, this would piggyback federal, so if the expenditure would qualify under federal law, it would qualify here. The federal law does not allow expenses that are for exploration activity to ascertain, you know, the existence, location, or extent of a mineral ore deposit. And the reason for that is because under federal law, those types of activities are allowed an exploration incentive credit, so they're not going to also allow the research and development tax credit. As far as I know, that would be the only limitation for oil and gas companies. But then if there were other activities that they were taking that did have research and development, like tertiary recovery methods, mm-hmm. things like that, as long as it qualified under the federal law, it would qualify here. And I do understand that that would be the case. But I can actually look a little further into that and get you more information about what types of expenses oil and gas companies could take.
And Mr. Chairman, I would be interested in finding that out, and also the extent to which this would or would not overlap with existing credits that we have in that arena, whether or not there are existing credits for various things, just trying to get a feel for what we are and aren't incentivizing. That'd be really helpful. And you may also have, it sounds like on that sheet that we're going to get, maybe there are some examples of things that would as well as things that wouldn't qualify. Is that correct?
Yes, Representative Holmes.
Okay, so I'll wait for that. That would be helpful. And then I guess, Mr. Chairman, my last question that I had.
Question number four
is on the fiscal note. It's a zero fiscal note. I understand that's because there's There's a lot of uncertainty as to what is out there, but I'm just wondering if going forward, based on what has happened at the federal level and what other states have seen, if there's any way to kind of get any ballpark about
right.
what we're I mean, are we talking about $10 million a year, or are we talking about $10 billion a year? obviously, we'd love to have more things going on in this state, but just a
right.
general ballpark.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Holmes, one of the things, as I stated, is we're actually hoping to have new corporations mm-hmm. come up here. So any activity that they do conduct, we're hoping would also bring in increased revenues in the future in terms of corporate income tax. So that does make it difficult. And because we've never had this credit before and we've never looked at these expenses, we're not even sure, you know, the activity that's being conducted right now, so we don't even have a baseline on which to judge that. But it is a good question and something we'll do our best to see if we can find some data.
Thank you. For now, that's what. Although I reserve the right, Mr. Chairman, to ask more as I
clearly said her last question.
For the year.
No more. Thank you very much, Joanna. We have Mark Myers online, gentleman familiar to all of us, and I think it's the first time that Mark has testified this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and welcome back to the committee, Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mark Myers, I'm the Vice Chancellor of Research for the University of Alaska. So, in a new role.
And you're domiciled in Fairbanks now, I believe, aren't you?
I am in Fairbanks today, up watching the snow come down.
Just doing the same thing down here.
For the opportunity. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, just doing the same thing down here, but please continue.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the university. In my current role, I'm responsible for the overall research at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which is about $123 million per year of research, largely funded through outside sources, particularly grants from the National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health. There is some private research, but not a whole lot, surprisingly. The university is very interested in seeing stronger private public partnerships in research up here. And we see some significant opportunities to do that. And in that light, we are forming an office for intellectual property and commercialization here. The laboratory capacity, for example, at the universities is quite sizable, and other states have used that to their advantage to develop private-public partnerships in using that lab space, but also in the development of intellectual property. Some of the money then returns back into the state in terms of royalties on the developed intellectual property. Along that line, there are many opportunities for research and ongoing research in biomedical fields, in advanced instrumentation for spacecraft, for unmanned aircraft, and for unmanned submarine vehicles. A lot of work being done in engineering design, energy technology, aviation technology, transportation, infrastructure, and construction. So certainly any research credit we would give, the state would give, could help entice additional research. The university's perspective, hopefully, with the university, again, partnership, but not necessarily, of course. So anyway, I think we in Alaska have a unique natural laboratory for this sort of research. If you just look at the ability to use airspace to fly unmanned vehicles, there are very few places in the country where that can be done. So the unique environment up here does provide opportunities, and we hope through the education process to be able to train Alaskans to be able to use these research capacities and to develop the researchers themselves. So I guess that's pretty much my testimony. It's generally in support of the bill and in support of the opportunity, I think, to help diversify our economy and also strengthen our economy and our existing industrial and resource base. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, Mark, would it be safe to assume that the research you're overseeing now is similar to the research that you oversaw at USGS?
Mr. Chairman, very much so. It's a broad-based research all the way from biology to water to remote sensing to atmospheric geophysics. The difference is it also involves the humanities, arts, and a lot more engineering than I had on the at the USGS. But other than that, the core areas of strengths are actually very similar.
Any questions for Dr. Myers?
You have no questions. You're done.
I'm not allowed to ask many.
Thanks again, Mark.
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We also have online Catherine Dodge from Fairbanks North Star Borough Economic Development Office. Ms. Dodge, are you with us?
I am.
Please state your name and affiliation, and thank you for participating today.
Thank you very much. My name is Catherine Dodge. I'm with the Fairbanks North Star Borough. I am the Economic Development Specialist. I'm also an ARDER. And I'm here to speak in support of this bill. The Fairbanks North Star Borough, have been working with the University of Alaska Fairbanks for a number of years, trying to strengthen the private industry-funded research and also the federal industry-funded research going on in our community and in our state. And this is a wonderful tool to help move that forward. I work with some of the oil and gas recovery, Center for Energy or Oil and Gas or something up there, and others, and they have some relationships with private industry, but they could certainly be strengthened, and this certainly is a tool that would help strengthen that. And another way I think this would help is that big companies tend to do their research in their headquarters areas, and this might be enough of an incentive for them to at least consider conducting research also in Alaska, using some of our local strengths. Certainly, it's a very strong and important tool to help us move into a more innovative economy. We've been struggling with things like patenting. Our numbers of patents are very low, and this would result in an increased level of patenting, which is an indication of an innovative and entrepreneurial economy. So in general, and the other thing we've been trying to work towards is commercializing our technology, but a lot of the research doesn't necessarily lend itself as well, and I would think that this should help us also be focusing on technology that might be more commercializable. So I just would, again, speak in support of it. I am pleased to see it being introduced and encourage you moving it forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else online that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the room, but we are going to keep public testimony open. I'd like to make a note that we have received an amendment from the department, but we received it too late to get it out to the committee. We strive. In fact, we won't put an amendment out to the committee unless they've had 24 hours. To read it before the meeting, but we'll be addressing the amendment next week and opening it up to more public testimony. And with that, I think we're all done for today. We're going to hold both bills over, and we're going to adjourn at 10 minutes to 4. I'm off to-